Turn your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We're looking at a very familiar portion of Scripture, and I trust the Lord will bless it to our hearts. I was going to preach on the subject of Thanksgiving, and that's why we sang that hymn. But I didn't get to use... I wasn't going to do what Donnie told me. He said, catch us up with what's going on in your life, and I'm just going to give a lesson on Mary and Martha. Well, that's still running around in my mind, so we're going to do Mary and Martha. Or a subject I would call good, better, and best. The second job I ever had was with Sears Roebuck, Huntsville, Alabama. I later was assistant manager of the paint electrical department in Alexandria, Virginia. Well, one of the things Sears did in those days, I don't know if they still do or not, but they sold products usually in three different grades, and they called it good, better, best. You might get a... They'll get you into the store with that $300 refrigerator, and then they try to sell you a better one for $600, and then they try to sell you the best one for $900. Good, better, best. In this passage at the end of Luke 10, we have a comparison between two sisters. Though Jesus doesn't use words that make that comparison, we can see that taking place in the passage. Let me begin the reading in verse 38. Now as they meaning Jesus and his disciples, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. The NIV translates that Mary has chosen what is better. And I think that's the meaning. He doesn't describe using an adverb to tell us how he considered Martha serving, but he described, he did describe Mary and said she has chosen the good portion. What Martha did in serving in the home, we would say, hey, that's good, that's commendable. If you go to Romans chapter 12, one of the gifts that the Spirit gives to many members of his body is that of serving. And she was serving. And we would say, well, that's good. We need to serve the Lord. But in this particular incident, the Lord Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good portion. We have a coach down our way who has five categories when he talks to his players. He tells them, you can be bad at what you do, average at what you do, good at what you do, excellent at what you do, or elite in what you do. He's a big motivator, and he motivates those football players. Well, we don't have that kind of comparison going on here, but we do have a comparison. And Mary has the good part. Martha was serving. Company had come. Very special company. And so Martha got busy in this ministry of serving Jesus. And Mary didn't help Martha. She instead sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. And Jesus told Martha that she was distracted with much serving. Now, Martha didn't like it that Mary wasn't helping out in the kitchen. She was laboring. So she complained to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And then she said, "Lord, tell him, her, to help me." And then we have our Lord's words in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." There are things of a practical nature that we do for Jesus, and serving is one of those. But we must never get so distracted in serving that we fail to sit at his feet and listen to him. So let's focus our attention on these two sisters and how they are presented in this situation when Jesus came to their home. We began with Martha, and I'll just refer to her as the server. She welcomed Jesus into her house. Verse 38 says she's the one who owns the house. It's called her house. It seems that Jesus showed up unannounced. There's no indication that Mary and Martha were expecting him. So, the house, according to Martha's expectation, was unpresentable. Nothing was ready to entertain company. So she got busy. She began to serve, whatever that entailed. As the owner of the home, hospitality fell to her. So she began to rush around in the house to take care of the needs of her company. Now, Jesus wasn't alone. Remember, I emphasized that word "they." Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. So there were people with him, his disciples. How many disciples did he have? 12. Were they all with him? Let's just say they were. That means 13 people showed up at Martha's house unannounced. And she's trying to take care of their needs, providing a meal, giving them a drink, could have included washing their feet, making them comfortable, whatever. But Luke tells us that Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted. That she was distracted means she allowed herself to be pulled and dragged away by what she perceived as needing doing. And in that, she was distracted from what was better, the good portion, from the Lord Jesus himself. She became overburdened because of the company that arrived at her home. I mean, you can almost hear the pots and pans banging around the kitchen, maybe the broom whisking on the floor, trying to get things ready because company has come. You ladies know exactly what Martha's feeling, right? Babylon Bee yesterday had a story, and the title was "Wife Racing to Clean the House Before the Firefighters Arrive." There's a picture of the house burning. And she knows the firefighters are coming, but she's got to straighten the pillows and sweep the floor. Humor at its best. But that's the picture here. And you ladies know that. Situations like this have happened to you. Visitors show up. Maybe, I've did this too many times to my wife. I'd say, this Sunday, right after the service, and I said, "Did I tell you I'd invited so-and-so to come to the house for lunch?" No. And I've done that my whole ministry. She's with me here today, but I'm going to tell this story. We had a lady come to the house two Fridays in a row who sells insurance. We were looking at a few policies we needed. The house got really clean on Thursday for a lady who was just going to step inside the door and sell us an insurance policy. That's the way it was with Martha. She's not prepared to fill her perceived social obligation. She's under immense pressure to provide hospitality. Yes, I feel for Martha. But Martha had misplaced priorities. And what made things worse for Martha is that she couldn't get any help from her sister. You know, two's always better than one, cutting down the time it takes to do a task. I mean, even Ecclesiastes 4:9 says that. Martha thought she was doing what was best, when in fact, Mary had her priorities in order. But instead of going to Mary to ask for her help, Martha appealed to Jesus. She wanted Jesus to stand up and rebuke Mary for not assisting her. Lord, and then she proceeds to boss him around. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And then tell her. She's commanding the Lord. Lord, tell her to help me. She questioned the care of Jesus for her and told Jesus to tell Mary to help her. I think Spurgeon is right when he said, there is a strong sense of self-righteousness in Martha's speech. But Jesus didn't rebuke Mary. He kindly and gently rebuked Martha. Martha, Martha. The double vocative. It's tender and loving. Martha was dear to Jesus, but she needed correcting. She needed rebuking. R.C. Sproul says the repetition of Martha's name indicates intimacy and affection. Jesus gives her a slight rebuke couched in warmth and love. Martha, Martha. And then Jesus told her what part of her problem was. You are anxious and troubled. I mean, she was worried and bothered about what? Things that didn't matter. She was focused on the trivial, and she neglected learning from Jesus at a most opportune time. She's agitated. She's distressed. She wanted to do something special for Jesus. She wanted to take care of their needs, feed them a meal, give them a drink. She wanted her house to be clean. But she was unnecessarily being elaborate in making provisions with much serving. She was distracted. She let the circumstances of the moment overwhelm her. She's too stressed out about the trivial, about earthly things. She's out of focus. She's dedicated herself to doing something at that moment which was not necessary. She's trying to meet her expectations of what hospitality entails. So she was occupied with the insignificant, and she let an irreplaceable moment of enjoying sweet fellowship with Jesus pass her by. One thing was necessary. One thing was necessary at that time, and that was for her, like Mary, to draw near to Jesus. Well, let's take a look at Mary now. Martha, she's the server. But she's a server who allowed her service to shut out something more important. Mary is seen in this passage Can I use the word worshiper? I mean, Jesus is there, and she wants to sit at his feet and learn from him. So she took advantage of Jesus being in the home by sitting at his feet to learn from here. Now, I suppose Martha thought Mary was lazy. That's why Mary didn't help her, or so she imagined. But Mary wasn't being idle. She wasn't lazy. She wasn't slothful. Mary knew this wasn't the time to work. This wasn't the time to serve. This was a time to sit. This was a time to listen. Martha was fulfilling what she perceived as her social obligation. Mary was occupied with hearing Christ's word. Jesus said that Martha chose, or Mary chose, what was good. And I think in this context, it means she chose what is better. Now let's remember that Jesus here is on his way to Calvary. This was a crisis point in history. And that being the case, one thing is urgently needed, and that was to prioritize the time by spending it with Jesus. R.C. Sproul said, at this juncture in history, spending time listening to Jesus was far more important than taking care of all the domestic duties. Mary used her chance to hear words from Jesus. And what could have been more important on that day? Martha should have dropped everything. There is a time to prepare a meal and do the dishes, but not when Jesus is calling. So Jesus went on to say to Martha, Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen what's best. And that's not going to be taken from her. We sometimes speak of memories that will last. Maybe the Martins had things that took place on their vacation this week, and they will remember them to the end of their days. Memories that last. This was one such moment for Mary. The time Mary spent at the feet of Jesus would remain with her forever. That moment in hearing him and learning from him would not be lost. That's what Jesus said. And dear friends, I say to you, that's true for all who spend their time meditating on the Word of God. That's why we should take delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. For what we gain from doing so will never be lost. It reaps everlasting rewards. So what a contrast there is between Mary and Martha. Both were followers of the Lord Jesus. Both were dedicated to him. Both loved him. Both recognized that he is Lord. These two sisters appear together in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, where Jesus came to their home. Martha stands out in better light there than Mary. But they both made confessions, but Martha especially making a confession of faith in Jesus as the one in whom there is life. But on this occasion, Martha didn't take advantage of the one thing that was necessary. The one thing that was necessary wasn't a clean house. It wasn't a nice meal. It wasn't doing whatever to make company more comfortable. The one thing that was necessary was to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. And dear friends, that's what we need to focus on in this busy world that has so many distractions to keep us from sitting, learning, and growing. We need to sit at his feet and learn from him. That's more important than any other kingdom ministry. James Montgomery Boyce said, one thing is needed. How often we reverse the two. We think our service is needed and fellowship dispensable. But we need to learn that there is nothing that can act as a substitute for cultivating the presence of Christ. Philip Ryken says, while Martha was busy preparing a banquet, Mary was already having one. She was feasting on the Word of Christ. An interesting picture is given to us of Mary. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is Mary of Bethany. We don't read here that the village Jesus entered was Bethany, but that's where Mary and Martha lived. And Lazarus, their brother, we assume, lived with them. We're told that in John chapter 11. But we see this Mary of Bethany three times in the Scriptures. Here, Luke 10, John 11, John 12, and in all three occasions you see her at the feet of Jesus. When she did go out to see Jesus, when he came, having heard that Lazarus had died, she fell at his feet. And then in John 12, she's at his feet, washing his feet with that expensive ointment and wiping his feet with her hair. She's always at the feet of Jesus. She chose the good portion. I think the reason that so many Christians today are barren with little fruit is because they've not spent enough time in the study and meditation of God's Word. And I think that's actually what it means for us to sit at the feet of Jesus today. We can't be like Martha and actually sit at his feet in the living room of Martha's house and learn from him. He's at the right hand of God in heaven. But when we come before him with an open Bible and in prayer, it's like we are sitting at his feet. James Montgomery Boyce says, in Hebrew idiom, sitting at the feet of another means to learn from that person as a child might learn from a parent or a pupil, from a rabbi. The way we sit at Jesus' feet today is by studying the Bible, for it is there he speaks to us and instructs us. That's why in our daily Bible reading we should come with an open Bible. Say, oh Lord, speak to me. Let me draw near to you as I study your word. Communion with him. Fellowship with the God who made us. With the God who saved us. With the God who is working by his Spirit to sanctify us. But so many of us are so busy doing this, that, and the other, we're not taking that quality time to sit at his feet, to learn and to grow. And you can tell it, can't you? If you be honest with your life, you say, I don't know why I'm not happy as I used to be. I don't know what's wrong with me. This very well could be the point, the place you're missing sitting at the feet of Jesus. So the question arises, do we study the Bible? Are we disciplining ourselves to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word? You know, we might grow more in the faith if we'd put down our tablets and our phones and turn the TV off so we can learn God's word. Fellowship with God, with Christ our Lord, in the study of his word, that prayerful, meditative study of his word, is supremely worthwhile. James Montgomery Boyce, who pastored prior to his death the 10th Street Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, followed a great preacher, Donald Gray Barnhouse. You can still hear him on the radio. But Boyce tells this story When Donald Gray Barnhouse was just a boy, he was riding on a train with a well-known Bible teacher. I don't know who the Bible teacher was, but this teacher was en route to a meeting where he'd be speaking. And so the older preacher is sitting on the train, and he's reading his Bible. Barnhouse, the young man, was reading the newspaper. And at one point, Barnhouse looked over at this man, saw what he doing, and said, "I wish I knew the Bible like you." The older preacher kindly replied, "You'll never get to know it by reading the newspaper." And Barnhouse said later that he got the message, put his paper away, and began to read the Bible. And of course, he too later became a well-known preacher, a faithful proclaimer of the Word of God. That could be a description of many of us, couldn't it? I don't read a newspaper anymore because we don't publish a good one down our way anymore. You have to live in a big city like Nashville, I guess, to maybe have a daily newspaper. Huntsville does not have a daily newspaper now. You get it 3 days a week, it's not worth having. But I get my news in other places, and I spend too much time doing that. More time sometimes there than I do with the Word. I'm distracted. And I've got this to do, and I've got that to do. And I feel good about serving and doing and helping. But that's not the most important thing. In the stress we face in the modern age, too many of us are missing out on spending time at the feet of Jesus, studying His Word, and calling on Him in prayer. Always rushing about, busy as bees, and not spending time, not leaving time for what Jesus said is most important, this good portion. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Spurgeon said, "I may sometimes run with Martha and do what Christ needs of me." And that would be true of all faithful servants. We serve. "I may sometimes run with Martha to do what Christ needs of me, but I think I should more frequently sit with Mary to receive from Christ what I need from Him." A.W. Tozer often spoke about the barrenness of busyness. And he means by that that we can become so busy in the work of the Lord that we neglect our souls. Hear what he said. "Today, the Christian emphasis falls heavily on the active life. People are more concerned with earth than with heaven. They would rather do something than to commune with God." That cuts me deep. "They would rather do something than commune with God. The average Christian feels a lot nearer to this world than to the world above. The current vogue," and I think he wrote this about 1950, but boy, it applies more so today. "The current vogue favors Christian action. The favorite brand of Christianity is that sparked by the man in a hurry, hard-hitting, aggressive, ready with a neat quip. We are neglecting the top side of our souls. The light in the tower burns dimly while we hurry about the grounds below, making a great racket and giving the impression of wonderful devotion to our task." That is Martha to the T. Is it you? It often is of me. And just reading what Tozer said there just hits me square between the eyes. I am more prone to busyness than I am to meditation. I give more time in action, activity, Christian service, than I do meditative reflection. And I think Satan is very good at tempting us with an array of distractions. Even within the church, in doing things for the Lord. A.W. Pink said that Satan seeks to get us engaged in service as a substitute for communion with Christ. He said that in an article he wrote called The Snare of Service. A.W. Tozer, The Barrenness of Busyness. A.W. Pink, The Snare of Service. Oh, it's good to serve. We must serve. But our main task is to draw near to the Lord, to sit at His feet, praise Him, adore Him, bless Him, learn from Him. That's actually what Martha or Mary was doing. She's at the Lord's feet. Listen to His teaching. She was getting an education as she fellowshiped with the Lord. I think when it comes to Mary and Martha, we, most of us, get things backward. Some of us might even say that Mary was the distracted one. She was distracted from helping her sister show hospitality. But that's not how Jesus saw it. It was Martha that was distracted, not Mary. Tim Challis says that we must learn to be like Mary in a Martha world. We are in a Martha world. Busyness, the snare of service. And we must be like Mary. And what does it look like to be a Mary? It means we prioritize the time before our Lord in meditation, study, devotion, so that the cares of the world will not overwhelm us. J.C. Ryle says of Martha, her excessive zeal for temporal provisions made her forget for a time the things of her soul. I think he put his finger on it. Excessive zeal for serving. Serve, but don't be so out there serving that you are neglecting your soul. So have you chosen what's best, or have you settled for something less? Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. We need to serve the Lord Jesus. There is a place for being busy. If we all go out and be merry all at the same time, there's not going to be much serving going along. It's a combination of the two, isn't it? But here's not letting the one become so strong and take center place in our life that we neglect our souls. That's what I'm trying to say. There is a place for business in the work of the Lord, but never at the neglect of our souls. Someone has well said, we can become so involved with the work of the Lord that we neglect the Lord of the work. We get busy, and time for devotion goes out the door. I'll catch up on my reading tomorrow. I can't tell you how often that's happened with me. And if you read McShane's Bible reading guide and you get behind 2 or 3 days, boy, you are really behind. You need to stay with it. In Luke 10, Jesus applauded Mary for her quiet devotion, and Martha was admonished for her zealous activity. Again, there's time for active service, but we must make time for quiet reflection. So we need the wisdom which comes from above to know when each of these should be exercised. Being a good disciple of Jesus will balance these two things, service and study. Time to work, time to worship. But Martha needed to change her priorities. Pink said the main business and the principal concern of the Christian should be that of thanking, praising, and adoring the Blessed One who has saved him with everlasting salvation. That's the main business. Charles Wesley has a hymn. Oh, that I could sit Oh, that I could forever sit with Mary at the Master's feet, be this my happy choice. My only care, delight, and bliss, my joy, my heaven on earth, be this, to hear the bridegroom's voice. What joy there is in sitting at the feet of Jesus, the one who secured our salvation, the one who left heaven's glory to come to this sin-cursed earth, to die that cruel death of the cross, to suffer in our place in order to save us from sin, death, and hell. And what is our main business when we consider Him who loved us and gave Himself for us? Our main business on earth is to praise Him, to adore Him, to soak up His Word, that we might more glorify Him in all that we say and do. May the Lord help us treasure quiet times alone with Him. May we often seek His company and find fulfillment in His presence. Even as a busy housewife, got to take care of the kids, got to take care of things, you can be praying and communing with our Lord even in that process. And according to John 15, it's vital for us to abide in Christ if we are to bring forth fruit. So I suspect what's true of me is probably true of you, or most of you. We could use a little more Mary and a little less Martha in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, keep us from all the many distractions that would keep us from the main thing. May it be our aim, our goal, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Deliver us from the barrenness of busyness. Help us to be cautious of the snare of service. And we want to serve You and serve You heartily and energetically. But what kind of service will that be if we haven't been at the feet of Jesus? Being at the feet of Jesus, learning and growing and studying, communing, will energize us for the work that the Lord has called us to do and the exercising of the very gifts He has given to us. We thank You for both of these sisters, Mary and Martha. But we know the real hero of the story is Jesus. He's the one who loved them both. He's the one who gave Himself to save them. And He has done the same for us. And oh, what abundant reason there is for us to sit at Your feet and worship You, pour out our hearts before You. And may it be so of every person who is part of this congregation. But we are aware that there may be some here this morning who do not know Christ. And they need to come to the foot of the cross and bow before this one who suffered to save sinners. Open their eyes that they may see the glory of Christ in suffering for our sins. May they see this one is raised from the grave, that He's at the right hand of God, and that He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to the Father by Him. Oh, come and save the lost and build up Your people in the faith. We pray in Jesus' sweet and precious name. Amen.